And with that, we're going to invite Mary Carol to read our scripture for today.
Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus. "And do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. Imagine yourself in a conversation where, after it became clear that you were a Christian, someone asked you, "Are you a born-again Christian?" How would you respond? Already I detect some uneasiness. I suspect that for some of us, this raises some discomfort, not because we disagree with Jesus, but because of what the term "born again" has come to mean in public usage. Revivalist preachers in the 20th century, Charles Finney, D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, and most especially Billy Graham, all proclaimed the need to be born again in order to be a true Christian. And by being born again, they meant repenting of one's sins, making a clear life commitment, believing that Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection had dealt with the problem of their sins and prepared the way for renewed relationship with God. All of this as opposed to merely joining a church, and going through the motions, being baptized, receiving the Eucharist, participating in causes, and trying to live a good life, which on the one level is all well and good. But in the last 50 years or so, the term "born again" has taken on other connotations. With the rise of the religious right since the 1980s, particularly in the United States, but spilling over into Canada as well. Being born again has become narrowly defined in terms of very right-wing politics. Key here have been figures like Jerry Falwell and the so-called Moral Majority, Pat Robertson with his Christian Coalition. And the result is that in the public perception, being born again is perceived to be the same thing as being politically right-wing and socially conservative. Stereotypically, middle white class folk with middle white class values who, among other things, unfortunately, often have an affinity to guns and a naive understanding of issues facing minorities or people on the margins. But if being born again is something that Jesus talked about, perhaps it would be best if we were to go back to him to see what he had in mind. Here I give five observations about Jesus' teaching in John chapter 3. Number one, for Nicodemus, the message would have been that it was not enough simply to be born an Israelite. Jews understood themselves to be, by definition, God's chosen people. But like many of the prophets before him, Jesus was saying that that was not enough. That Jesus had Israel as a nation in view is evident when he says, "You must be born again." He uses a plural you, not just Nicodemus, but all Israel, and most especially all Gentiles. Unfortunately, Nicodemus, a teacher of Israel, didn't understand this, which also points to the fact that being a leader, being well-educated, does not necessarily mean that you have your act together. That's my first observation. Second observation, being born again is an act of God. It's not something we do. It's something God does to us. The Old Testament prophets spoke of this in a number of ways. In the event of people turning to God with all their heart and soul, Moses spoke of God circumcising people's hearts so that they would love the Lord their God with all their heart and so that they would live. Jeremiah spoke of God writing his law on people's hearts. Ezekiel spoke of God giving a new heart and a new spirit, removing the heart of stone and replacing it with a heart of flesh. And after acknowledging his sin, the psalmist prays for God to create within him a clean heart and a new and steadfast spirit. The recognition here is that even though God had chosen Israel to be his special people, they were not going to remain faithful in their love for God or to uphold the things that God values, things like fidelity and justice, generosity, welcome of the outsider, care for the marginalized, etc. People were not going to do these things unless God did something within them. And Jesus refers to this act of God as being born again. In fact, there's an interesting double meaning in John's language. The word translated again can just as easily be translated from above. And in his gospel, John makes quite a bit of the contrast between being from below versus being from above. Double meaning is clearly intended. At Grandview, we affirm this new life whenever we welcome people into membership. We say, we celebrate the life God has given you. That's number two. Number three, as might be expected, since being born again is an act of God, there is a mystery involved here. Jesus likens the mystery to the blowing of the wind. No specific reference to Bob Dylan intended. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And it should not surprise us that the new birth that Jesus talks about has mystery, since it is from above, and we are from below. It is often a temptation for Christians to try to define being born again, perhaps in terms of a series of steps it takes to get there, or define it in terms of what it looks like when you've got it. But God is sovereign in giving people new life. It happens when he wants it to happen, and he makes it take the shape that he wants to give it. That's number three. Number four, observation number four. The posture required of one who is born again, or of one wanting to be born again, is believing in God's Son, Jesus. This is more than saying, yes, I agree that various things the Bible says about Jesus are true. Believing does imply acknowledging what the Bible says about Jesus, especially here in John 3, that Jesus is God's one and only Son, that he is the ultimate expression of God's love for us, especially in his being lifted up, a reference both to his eventual crucifixion and also to his subsequent resurrection. But more than that, believing involves a commitment to the God Jesus reveals. Believing is actually closer to taking an oath of allegiance. It's saying, I'm going to find my identity in Jesus more than in anything else. And I'm going to take my stand along with his followers. It's what we say whenever we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And observation number five, extending the metaphor of being born again, Jesus calls the benefit of being born again eternal life. It's not simply life that extends for a long time, but rather it is life as it was meant to be. Another way that Jesus talks about the result of being born again is entering the kingdom of God, the realm where God restores people, where he heals broken relationships, where he establishes peace and justice, where he restores creation. So there you are, five observations from this text. So what are we to take away from all of this? Well, whether you are a follower of Jesus or not, being born again has to do with finding in Jesus new possibilities for the future. If we can extend Jesus' metaphor, many people consider the cards they are dealt when they're born as determinative for their lives, their cognitive ability, their physical appearance, relative level of poverty or wealth, where they are brought up, quality of school that they were sent to, etc., all of which we have little choice in, and all of which seems to determine the kind of people that we're going to be, to determine the opportunities open to us. But Jesus offers a new birth that offers hope beyond that. We're not stuck with living out the conditions into which we were born. God can and will breathe new life into us. Doesn't mean we won't struggle. Doesn't mean we won't grow old. But it does mean that God gives life that will make us new creatures, will help us to persevere, and that will, like with Jesus, raise us up from the dead. Amen.